Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries podcast. My name is Sammy Ju. I'm your host. Today, I'm in Dallas, Texas. I'm attending SBC annual meeting. I'm with Daniel Im. Daniel Im is originally from Canada, and he works for Lifeway. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, it's great to be with you.
Yeah, thanks so much for your time, Daniel. Hey, so Daniel, can you introduce yourself a little bit?
Sure. I currently live in Nashville. I've been married for 12 years and have three children, nine, seven, and four. And we moved down here about 3.5 years ago to begin serving at Lifeway. I serve as the director of church multiplication with Lifeway leadership. So really focus on resourcing church planters, multi-site churches, churches that are wanting to multiply along the lines of leadership.
Awesome, that's great. This is our second time for me to meet you.
Yes.
I think the first time I met you was in Charlotte, North Carolina last year.
That's right.
So I was very blessed by just being at your breakout session. I think you mentioned about the church multiplication and leadership pipeline.
Yes.
And those very, very important concepts and practices for the local churches. So I have a lot of questions to ask for you, but first of all, I want to know more about church multiplication. So what is it about?
Yeah, so when I came to Lifeway, Lifeway was trying to figure out how to resource church planting and multi-site. And when you look at the entire landscape, a lot of times people who like multi-site ministry or are pro multi-site ministry don't necessarily have an issue with church planting. But what's interesting is those who are passionate about church planting don't necessarily like the multi-site side. But in the end, both are about reaching new people, reaching the lost, and reaching new people for Christ. So whether you're planting a church or planting a campus, the idea is how do we resource both toward multiplication? So when I joined the team, we started a ministry called newchurches.com. I started it together with Ed Stetzer. So we started out with research. If you go there, you can download our state of church planting research in the US and in Canada, different reports. And what was interesting is from that research, we looked at the characteristics of churches that multiplied. So it wasn't necessarily, hey, here's this big church with this $5 million budget, all these staffers that then multiply. No, what we looked at were churches that were planted and in their first 5 years of existence, they multiplied at least once.
Wow.
So think about that, right? I mean, they're not gonna have $1 million budget, they're not gonna have a ton of people, yet in their first 5 years, they multiplied one time. So we looked at their characteristics, and all that research is on newchurches.com as well. It's called Multiplication Today, Movements Tomorrow.
Wow, that's great. I'm part of the church that is planting churches and churches. So that's a pretty new church as well. It's been about 6 or 7 years old.
Man, that's awesome.
But they already planted 9 churches and they're going to plant maybe 21 more churches until 2025. So that's very encouraging to hear that newer churches are planting more churches than the established church.
Yeah, that's the metric that's changing right now, where when someone's planting a church these days, it's not about getting to, you know, the goal isn't building a massive building, but the goal is multiplication, right? The goal is reaching the lost. The goal is discipling. And as you disciple and as you reach the lost, more churches, the natural result is planting churches.
Wow, that's great. Well, my role at North Carolina Baptist State Convention is Asian Ministries. So I'm helping Asian churches, basically. We have about 130 Asian churches and ministries, and many of them are first-generation churches.
Okay.
But I saw the statistics. It shows that a lot of first-generation churches are not necessarily multiplying or not necessarily planting other churches. Many immigrant churches, you might know, that they're considered to be safe haven, like inviting people and just have a good time. But I saw in the statistics that second generations have a much more opportunities for church planting and for multiplication. So my question for you is, what would it look like for church multiplication in Asian American context, especially for second and third generations?
So there's a lot of, I mean, where do we start, right? There's a lot of dynamics between first and second generation So if you're wanting to plant out of a first generation church, it's different than if you're just going to plant a church. Maybe you're going to get the support from the first generation. Maybe you're going to get the support from your denomination or the state convention or a network, whether you're SBC or not. So there are really two different tracks. There, are you going to plant out of the first generation church, or are you just going to plant a church and ask maybe the first generation to come and join you? If you're planting out of a first generation church, then there's always the dynamic of, are you taking all the kids? Are you taking the English ministry? Are you a current English ministry pastor and you're going to leave? If you leave and leave with the English ministry, there's a lot of, you have to carefully navigate that. Because there's going to be parents, there's going to be the first generation, some that like the idea and others that are completely opposed because they want to go to church together with their kids. They want to have family worship. And in their mind, they're like, well, why can't you just plant a church in our church? The kind of like a duplex model, church within a church. But if you are really striving to reach the nations, if you're really striving to reach more than just the second generation of your ethnic group, you can definitely stay in that immigrant church building or that area, but you need to be highly intentional in how you do that. Otherwise, it's going to be a lot more natural and you're going to be able to culturally and environmentally wise reach the nations better in a separate building, in a separate setting. And that's if you're planting within, in partnership out of the first generation church. If you're planting from the denomination or network with support from them, then obviously you're not going to be planting in the same area as the first generation church.
So do you see, where you are in Nashville, do you see some second generation Asian Americans or planting and multiplying churches? Have you seen it?
You know, I get together on a regular basis with a few of the second gen pastors in the area, and there's not too many of them, and there's not too many that have planted out by themselves. It's not necessarily like Southern California, where you have a lot more of that, and obviously you have a lot more Asians there, but in Nashville it's more of the church within a church model, or it's a EM model.
I was walking around the booth and then I saw a leadership pipeline in Lifeway booth. Can you explain about what that leadership pipeline is?
Yeah, so if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, our role is to, as pastors, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Our goal is not to do the ministry, it's to equip the saints. And if you look at first generation, especially within Asian churches, there's a high sense of hierarchy, right? There's a high sense of reverence to the pastor, right? When I got ordained, it was a big deal. Not like it is in English churches. Like, whether you're ordained or not, they don't really care. Right. But in a Korean church, it's like, I became an adult.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? It's like, finally, I'm a muksanim. And it's just, all of a sudden, people respected me and looked at me differently. And there's just this, you know, as a pastor, it's nice, but that doesn't actually encourage people to do the work of ministry. They're like, oh, no. The pastor does this, or no, the elders do this, or you know, the deacons do this, but not me. What am I gonna, I don't know anything. And there's this separation, right? But you know, there's, I mean, in the Reformation we had the priesthood of all believers. Well, there's not, that's a tough thing in a lot of Asian churches. As a result, if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, the goal is, hey, we need to equip the saints. You know, we need to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And you look at 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 and the body of Christ and spiritual gifts, you know, we see that over and over and over again. So the idea with the leadership pipeline is, what would it look like for you to develop a culture, a conviction, culture, and the constructs in your congregation where everyone sees the work of ministry as being their responsibility, not someone else's responsibility.
Right.
So what we've done at Lifeway Leadership through research is actually identify a process to coach people, to coach churches in developing a leadership pipeline in their context. So currently we've brought close to 3,000 church leaders through that process. And we do that either with a single church or, you know, in a group of 30 to 50 people.
Okay, great. So to know more about the leadership pipeline, where should I go?
Yeah, you can go to myleadershippipeline.com or you can shoot me an email, daniel.im, im@lifeway.com, and I could get you more information there.
Okay, so daniel.im
M. Yeah, so that's I-M.
I-M.
Yes.
At Lifeway.com. Mm-hmm. And what was the website again?
MyLeadershipPipeline.com.
MyLeadershipPipeline.com.
Yeah, or you can search Leadership Pipeline Lifeway, and I'm sure it'll come up in Google.
Right. Yeah, that's great. One of my four goals in Asian ministry is to develop a leadership pipeline.
Yeah.
So I saw the great need among Asian churches, just like you said. So I think it's a really key word that I'm really praying toward that God would work in an amazing way.
Yeah, and with that, there's anytime you talk about leadership pipeline, the discipleship side always comes up. Mm-hmm. And there's always a lot of confusion between, well, what's the difference between leadership and discipleship? Are they the same thing? Are they different? Mm-hmm. So with my work at Lifeway, I focus a lot on consulting and resourcing churches and helping them develop leadership pipelines. Mm-hmm. But I recently wrote a book called No Silver Bullets, mm-hmm. and that's on discipleship. And the reason I wrote that is because we did a lot of work on leadership, but discipleship and leadership are different. Mm-hmm. Leadership, you can grow in competency and you can say, yes, I know how to cast vision, or yes, I know how to strategically plan, or yes, I know. So you can grow and check a lot of these leadership competencies off. But when it comes to discipleship, hey, Eugene Peterson said it well, it's a long obedience in the same direction, right? Or you look at Paul, right? It's running the race of faith with perseverance. We see that in Philippians, we see that in Romans, in Hebrews, right? So we see this imagery of running the race. So in the book, I really talk about, hey, how do you then develop a discipleship pathway? Because your leadership pipeline and your discipleship pathway, they're linked, they're similar, but they're not the same thing.
That's right. Mm. No Silver Bullet.
Yes, No Silver Bullets. Book. Yes.
That was that came out last year, right?
September of 2017.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, that's great. So listeners, please check out the book, No Silver Bullet.
Yep.
Awesome. Daniel, my final question, and this is completely different, and it's a more personal question. Mm-hmm. So whenever I interview with second gen or third generation, I always ask their personal experience growing up as Asian American or Asian Canadian in the North American context. So same question to you. How was your experience like growing up in Canada, right, as Asian Canadian?
Yeah, so my parents immigrated in the 70s to Canada, and we went to Korean school at our church and had to learn Korean. And it was, you know, I had one life at church and another life at school. We lived probably about 45 minutes away from the church. So I learned from a very young age how to compartmentalize my life. not a good thing, but I learned how to do that. I lacked integrity in that sense. And it really, in my high school years, I had a real identity crisis in trying to figure out, am I Korean or am I Canadian? And you know, just ditched a ton of my friends, and I decided to be friends with. I decided to embrace my Korean identity because H.O.T. and Jackie and you know all these like K-pop was really booming everywhere. So I was like, you know, I'm gonna be, you know, all those guys, all those fobs, like, you know, they're totally cool and everyone loves them at our school. I look like them. I'm gonna be like them, but I didn't fit in. I didn't really fit in either. And so it really became, that actually is what led me away from the Lord. That search for my identity in Korean-ness, my Korean side, led me away from the Lord until I hit rock bottom. I mean, it was a really rough situation and time and of drinking and just a lot of abuse in that sense in high school, right? So under the age, obviously, but and then I just woke up and I was like, you know what? What am I doing? And then my youth pastor at the time actually forced me to go on this retreat that he talked to my parents and registered me and made me go on this retreat. And that's where I fully, truly began to understand the grace of our Lord Jesus and his forgiveness and his love and the way that he really walked with me and had never left me. And it's through that time when I turned my back on him. So that was huge. And so it's been a lot of swings back and forth. And I actually served in Korea a couple years at a Korean church out there. And I mean, I married a Chinese Canadian. My kids are Torian. They're Torian Canadian living in America. But wow. It's fun. We're navigating it day by day.
So when did you sense the calling to become a pastor? Or
yeah, I'd always wanted to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. And no surprise, obviously, my parents were happy about that. Mm-hmm. But it was probably in about 12th grade when I began sensing maybe that wasn't the right path and that maybe God was calling me into ministry. I didn't really know what to do with that. It probably took about a couple of years to fully discern that. And I really made a decision after my first year of university. I was on a mission trip. That's where I met my wife. And on that mission trip, I asked the Lord, I was like, God, if there's anything, you know, during this trip, I pray that you would show me if I'm supposed to be a pastor or if I'm supposed to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. And on that mission trip, my discipler asked me, why do you want to be a doctor anyway? Mm. It's a legitimate question, but I hadn't really thought about it for a really long time. And immediately the Holy Spirit kind of prompted the fifth grade, when I was in the fifth grade, and it was career and personal planning. And my friend and I both, we had a sheet of paper, and one side was the occupation, the other side was the salary. And my friend and I both put our finger down the salary column, and I chose to be a neurosurgeon because it made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And after that, I kind of sanctified the reason. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. I legitimately forgot about that. But in that moment, when my discipler asked, why do you want to be a doctor anyway? That came up. And then Matthew 7 popped up, mm-hmm. where Jesus says, are you going to build your house on the sand or on the rock? Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I was like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So it was, but it took a couple of years for me to get to that point. I was fighting it, and even after that, I was fighting it. So it was probably another 6 months after that. Yeah.
Wow. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for sharing your stories and your wisdom as well.
Thank you.
I'm so excited as an Asian American. I'm already seeing that God is using you in a powerful way, not just in an Asian context, but in a national level. Mm. So I pray and I hope that God will use you even more and more for the world to be impacted by His word for His kingdom.
Yeah,
thank you, Daniel.
You. Yeah, thank you. And you can always go to danielm.com. Mm-hmm.
That's where your blog.
Yeah. So you can learn more about what I've written and my ministry and follow along that way.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, listeners. I will see you in the next episode.